Hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's Trusting Your Body Call here in No BS. I am so excited to be here with you all this evening, both those of you who are here attending live, as well as those who are listening in on the replay. So if you don't know me, I am Coach Jane, guest Coach Jane, also known as Corinne's Bestie for most of those. A lot of you know me as Corinne's Bestie. And I also am the author of the course in No BS, the self-study course in No BS called Trusting Your Body. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening on the call. So if you would like to be coached this evening on anything that is covered in Trusting Your Body, which is essentially anything as it relates to trusting your body, connecting with your body, understanding your body. There is some talk specifically around binging in there. My own story is that I used to be a binger for decades. And through a lot of you have been on this journey through me as I've really been working to unwind my binging. And a lot of the key components that really helped me to unwind my binges really are what you see in the Trusting Your Body course. So I am a guest coach here within No BS, and I have my own private practice where I specialize specifically in helping women on binge eating and body trust. So as far as it relates to trusting your body and binge eating, I am an open book for anything that you guys would like to talk about. So if you would like coaching this evening, definitely go ahead and raise your hand and we will do that. I'm going to go ahead and just talk a little bit for those of you who are not familiar with trusting your body. I'm just going to give a super quick update to that, just to let you know what trusting your body is. We've got Coach Lisa on the call moderating with us tonight if you are here joining us live. So trusting your body, you can find it on the website under the self-study resources. And this is a course that I put together specifically so that you can really understand your body, understand how your body works. And what I find is a lot of times if you don't understand your body, you end up trying to control it. So my goal with the Trusting Your Body process and the course was really to help you understand how to work with your body. As with anything, when you are working with something and you are learning about it, you are able to kind of work with yourself, work with your patterns, work with your nervous system, you are going to have so much more success rather than when you're trying to control something or change something that is kind of coming from this place of brokenness or wanting something to be different. So through this process, it's really about understanding your body, understanding there's a lot of talk in there about your nervous system. There is amazing information about how our nervous system works. Once you can truly understand your nervous system and understand what the patterns kind of are within your nervous system, many of us have actually learned how to use food to regulate our nervous system. But we don't really understand that's what's happening and that's what's going on. So what we do is we put all this focus on the food and, okay, well, I need to eat this or not eat this or only eat at these certain times. And we put all the focus on the food itself. But when we can really look and see, oh, this is actually in response to my nervous system, then you can be able to see this in an entirely different way. And so as you then can work with your nervous system, you look there, you start to see how you can work with your nervous system in ways that aren't using food. And so then you're actually really able to address all of the needs. I see a question who says, somebody's asking if they can ask a question if you are brand new. Absolutely. If you have any questions at all, there are two ways to get your questions asked. You can ask in the Q&A. If you are attending live, you can ask in the Q&A, or you can raise your hand to be either to be coached or to ask any specific questions that is absolutely available to you. So that is the Trusting Your Body course. There are so many resources. I basically give you a lot of teaching. There also then is essentially a whole toolbox, a toolkit for you to use so that you can figure out what are different ways that I can work with my nervous system that maybe is that are different from using food that I've done in the past. For any of you that struggle with binge eating, there are some very specific lessons and specific topics around binge eating also in the Trusting Your Body course. So if you haven't taken it, I highly recommend it. Now, if you are new around here, I know we have a lot of newbies around here. Welcome to you all. So excited that you have found us here and that you are now a No BS woman. So if you are a newbie, you are likely currently going through the No BS weight loss course. This is always the first course of action, and we don't ever recommend that you take more than one course at a time so that you can really keep all of your focus in one place. So the Trusting Your Body course is an amazing course. If you are new and you are still getting through the No BS weight loss course, what I would like for you to do is really think about, okay, I'm going to decide when I'm done with this course, I might go consider Trusting Your Body as my next course. So we don't recommend that you do more than one at a time. Sometimes it can kind of be hard to follow the plot and follow what's going on. We would rather you be all in on whatever course that you're taking. So if you're a newbie, be all in on that course. If you're listening to this call, take whatever you want out of the call and definitely apply it. But the Trusting Your Body course is a comprehensive course. There is a ton of information in there. So I really recommend that when you are ready, that you go in and do that and just be all in. Now, for those of you who maybe took the Trusting Your Body course back in April when we first released it, another amazing idea would be to go through it again. We're always in a different place. Whenever we take a course, whenever you are listening to something, you are listening to it with the mindset and the eyes and the perspective that you have in that moment. If you took that course back in April, you now have many more months of your own personal experience of listening to a lot of different coaching calls, of a lot of the new content that Corinne has been putting out. You might find that you go back to the course, you might hear something new out of the course that you didn't even hear before, or something that you might be able to apply in a new way. So that is what I'd like to say about that. Somebody's asking, what is considered a binge? Now, so for me, here's a couple things. We do answer this in the Trusting Your Body course, but here's my basic answer. In general, a binge is going to be something that is eating large amounts of food in a short period of time, typically eaten very quickly. There is typically a lot of shame involved. So it's a lot of hiding, shame involved. There might be, sometimes you might eat even kind of weird quantities of food, or you might actually eat things that you wouldn't eat otherwise. I don't find that it's particularly important or even necessary to quantify, was this a binge? Was this not a binge? But there are some differences between, say, an overeat and a binge eat. Typically, the quantity and the amount of shame that is typically associated with it are some of the key factors there. So, okay, I have Nicole. We are going to bring you on for some coaching. If anybody else would like coaching on anything else related to trusting your body or binge eating, feel free to raise your hand. We will do as much coaching as we can this evening, and also ask any questions in the Q&A. All right, Nicole is coming on board. She's coming.
Hi. I've never done this before. And Yay! It was on a whim that Good I even you. Saw that you had a meeting today. Usually they're on Mondays when I can't right. join.
Yes.
So I was very excited. So I'm like, I'm just going to, by chance, just hop on. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you for raising your hand.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to get a little emotional. I always think like, oh, why does everybody cry when I get on these things? But you were the first one that I ever heard someone say, binge, and you were so open and honest. And I've been dealing with this for, you know, years and years and years. And, you know, I can do a really good job of restricting and lose weight, and then life happens. And then, of course, you start binging and you go through the cycle and you gain all your weight back. So I think the biggest thing for me is I just had a binge on Sunday. And I really don't know where it came from, because I had been really like, I can't even tell you when the last time I had a binge was. Like, honestly, it's been so long. And I feel like I've really been trying to incorporate, you know, those forbidden foods and so that when I had a craving, that I would eat it so that I didn't, you know, do that. But I found myself, you know, dipping into the Halloween candy when I was downstairs doing laundry and then eating it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, all these wrappers. So I guess I can't really pinpoint, even doing a discovery worksheet, I cannot pinpoint where it came from.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple things. First, I would first stop and say, let's just celebrate that you can't even remember the last time you binged. Huge. So we will just stop and acknowledge you for that, celebrate you for that. I am not a fan personally of counting. Some people like to count how many days it's been. You know, I'm this many days binge free, or I'm this many this. I personally am not a fan of that, because those of us who binge are often, we have very black and white thinking. You know, it's kind of like we're either on or we're off, right? You kind of even describe that, right? Like I'm either restricting or I'm binging, at least before when you were going through this. And so I find that when people do say, like, when people know the exact date of their last binge, sometimes it actually, even though it sounds helpful, it actually can be problematic, because then if you do end up having a binge, then it can kind of spur the thinking of, oh, now I have to start over. I've broken my streak. And that type of thing. So I actually think it's great that you don't even know like how long it was, that it was long enough ago that it's been beyond your ability to recollect, but you're also not counting every single day. So I applaud that approach to it. So as far as kind of figuring out like what was happening on Sunday, what I love to do is there's a process called the behavior chain analysis. And so what we can do is we can look at, and we'll do this together, we'll look at and just explore what was going on. So I'm going to ask you, what was going on Sunday? So it happened, Sunday was when it happened, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon?
Late afternoon.
Okay. So we'll start with, if you can remember, it's, you know, we're a couple of days removed from it now. So for anybody listening, the sooner you can do this after a binge or even an overeat, if you don't typically overeat and you end up eating, let's just say it this way. If you end up eating in a way that is unusual for you, that you think to yourself, wow, I haven't done that in a long time. One of the things that you can do is ask yourself like, okay, how does this make sense? I love to ask that question. How does this make sense? So you have already kind of indicated like, I don't know, like I can't figure it out. So then what we do is we go in and we say, okay, we're going to do this behavior chain analysis. And what that is we're just going to look at, what do I remember? What was going on? What was I thinking about? What was, it can be thoughts. It can be feelings. It can be, maybe you saw pictures online. Maybe you tried on, maybe the weather is getting colder. Maybe you tried on a pair of jeans that you hadn't tried on in a while, and maybe they fit a little bit differently. You know, there can kind of be, so let's just get curious about let's just start with Sunday, kind of earlier in the day. Do you remember either what was going on? What were you thinking about? Were there any interactions or anything like that?
My husband and I actually just had come back from a really nice weekend away for our anniversary. I actually was really proud of myself because I had planned 3 drinks for each day. That's what I drank. We had some delicious meals. I left bites. We, you know, passed chocolate shops, and my husband said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "You know, I'm not hungry. So no, we're going to, you know," I knew we were going to have a nice dinner later. And so I was really planning for that. So I was really proud of myself. And, you know, the next morning we stopped and we got McDonald's for, you know, breakfast on the way home. And I was okay with that because I didn't know what I figured we were going to go to some kind of breakfast. I didn't have a plan, but you know, I actually ordered 2 hash browns. I gave the other one to my daughter when I got home because I'm like, I'm not hungry. Like I was so proud of myself for how I handled the weekend because usually a weekend away would be like, oh, you know, all bets are off. And I've been doing this since, April of 2021. So it's not like I'm brand new to this or anything. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like I've lost almost 50 pounds. It's been slow going, but I'm proud because I have hiccups, but I don't like just give up and quit. I don't, you know, downward spiral anymore like I used to. Yeah. And so I feel like I have all these tools. And then like, why?
So what happened then? Okay, so you're really proud of yourself. You get to McDonald's. What happened between McDonald's and then when you started eating the candy?
Then we came home. You know, now that I'm thinking, like back into the mundane, I'm doing laundry, the kids are asking for food, and they're all teenagers and they can make their own stuff, you know, and can you drive me here? And I'm a teacher, so I had yesterday off. So it wasn't like, oh, I've got all these things that I have to do. We grocery shop then when we got home. So I feel like, you know, all those things probably now that I'm thinking, like, I didn't even think that those were a big deal until you just asked.
Yes.
And I even was like writing down, like, I can't think of anything. Why did this happen? So
what do you think? Can you remember what you were feeling? Like, was there a specific feeling in that you're getting asked, you're doing the laundry, you're kind of back to real life, kids are asking for food. Can you
annoyed? Yeah.
Yeah.
Annoyed. I just wanted to be left alone and, you know, just live in the land of a nice weekend away, where I'm not, you know, all the, like I said, all those reality things came back into play. So it's funny how go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, here's what's interesting is I just want to be alone. I want to live in the land of away. Now, those of us who binge often use binging and use food as a way to disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're thinking, and you know, this is like, of course you're not even aware of it, right? It's just in the back of your mind. If you're thinking, I want to be in the land of away, it's like you have that old habit brain that's like, ooh, pick me. I know how we do that. I know how we can disconnect from this experience right here. And then, you know, then it can throw up the offer of the candy and then you start eating it. And then depending on how then you talk to yourself so then let's talk about that. So you go to eat the first candy. Halloween mm-hmm. candy, you start dipping into the candy, then what is the inner dialogue from there?
You can have a couple pieces. It's okay.
Okay.
And I actually even said to myself, you don't have to binge this. You mm-hmm. have this. You can have it anytime. There's, you know, plenty of Halloween candy to be had. And, you know, had my couple pieces and I was doing the laundry and then probably thoughts came into my head about being annoyed that I had to do the laundry and to get out of that thinking. Yeah. I went back and had more candy. And then every time I went down to change the laundry or do that, it was like a trigger of, oh, we're going to go back into that Halloween candy. I had lots of laundry to do. So it was just like, you know, all the whole, it was like a whole, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a downward spiral of all this candy. And then I did beat myself up on Sunday night. Like I like was rehashing, okay, eat this, like what, like this restrictive pattern, like, okay, eat this, 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 okay, is that going to ruin my weigh in for Saturday? And, you know, all those things. And I woke up the next day, felt like garbage, reminded myself of why I don't like to do this anymore. And I did, I planned and I was on track all day, which I was a little worried because I was out of my routine. And I did really well. And I woke up this morning and felt very proud. And so I stopped with the, the negative talk and moved on with it.
Amazing.
And so I just, so I kind of had like this piece where I know how to not make it a 3-day binge or a week long binge or quit anymore. I feel, I feel like I should give myself
absolutely huge pat on the back. Yeah. The so the behavior chain analysis for anybody listening is an amazing way when it's kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know what was going on. I tried the discovery worksheet. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was feeling. It can be really helpful to just download. Here's all the things and start with, if, you know, if something happens, say in the afternoon or the evening, just start with kind of the few hours before. Sometimes you might have to go back to the day before, but generally you can find it. So I find for me, like it might be, I can remember a time where like I had this, this has been a long time ago now, but I had a binge. It seemed out of nowhere. I couldn't figure it out. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I tried on some clothes this morning and it was hours between when I had tried on clothes and when the binge had happened, but it's, you can, so what happens is the reason it's called a behavior chain analysis is each one of these little things is a link in the chain. So, you know, it's like coming home, you have the vacation, all the things you did, that's all a link in the chain. You have going to McDonald's, that's a link in the chain. Giving your hash brown away, that's a link in the chain. The doing the laundry, the kids coming to talk to you. And so the links can be really anything. Then what we do is we can say, okay, what do I think was like the primary link in the chain that kind of caused the chain to break? So where do I think that happened? Like, and so what do you think would be, if you're kind of looking at everything that was going on as all these links, what would you, what do you think is kind of that, what do you think was maybe that primary link?
The primary link to why it happened?
The primary link that kind of ultimately led to the binge.
Perhaps the thought of, you know, you did so good this weekend. It's only a couple pieces. And then the guilt of, this wasn't on your plan. You know, you got treats this weekend. Like, I mean, I did, you know, enjoy all the good food and drinks that I had planned. I mean, I guess that's probably where that break was, that, you know, all those things that I've been really working on and like, you know, trying to stop myself. And, even like I caught myself almost, I should say probably a couple of weeks ago, I caught myself almost in a binge, and, I took a deep breath, like you talked about, and I just kind of put my hand on my heart and said, it's okay. I'm sorry. No. You're safe. You know, you can have this anytime you want. And then I moved on. So like, why this time it didn't work, you know?
Well, and it's probably because there were probably a couple of things going on. What I see is there were probably a couple of things going on. Even though you said you can have these things, there was probably not, you probably weren't really giving yourself permission. There was probably really the, well, you can, but you shouldn't, because you already had all of this other stuff, right? So they're it's kind of almost like that secret. It's like that secret restriction, you know, like, nah, you really, you really shouldn't. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it sounds like you're giving yourself permission, but you know, is it really permission? Like, maybe not. So there kind of may be some secret restriction going on there. There's also, here's what happens for so many of us when we come back from vacation. I used to have such a pattern of coming back from vacation and binging, a pattern, because even if you have the most amazing vacation ever, it's tiring, right? You plan ahead of time, you pack, you generally are off on a different schedule in terms of what you're eating, what you're drinking, how you're sleeping, and you get back and there's a little bit of a letdown because, you know, there's this amazing experience and you have a little bit of a letdown from the experience, plus then you're tired. Plus then there's laundry and there's life and there's work and there's teenagers, you know, all of those things. And so it can also be really helpful to have a re-entry plan when you come back from any type of trip where you give yourself space and grace and rest. And if you have enjoyed desserts or drinks or things that you're not having on an all the time basis, then you can, especially for anybody who binges, it's like you can expect your brain to think like, oh, now we have to like dial it back. We have to be good again. You know, there can be some of that thinking that can start to feel restrictive. So if you add all of those things up together, then, you know, it does make sense. Oh yeah. Got it. I can see.
Yeah, I just needed you here to walk me through it.
Sometimes it helps just having somebody else. Yeah. So what now? You have hindsight. Okay. So we've had our conversation. You have a lot more kind of awareness than you did before. So knowing what you know now, let's rewind the tape and let's put yourself back into laundry, teenagers asking for food, and you know, the thought about like, oh, let's have some Halloween candy. How would you then respond differently? Like if you had a do-over knowing what you know now?
Well, honestly, the biggest thing that I need to work on is probably every woman does, or most women. I am not somebody that can relax until everything on my list is crossed off. It's just the way I am. My husband's like, oh, come sit on the couch. You can do the laundry tomorrow. And then I think about, no, because I have X, Y, and Z to do tomorrow. And it doesn't matter if it's my day off. Like, I just always think about that next thing. So to say I'm going to go and rest and give myself some grace, I don't know if in the rest of my life, I will ever be able to do that. I think that is something that, you know, I would have to really like say, I'm going to give myself seconds. Like I would have to build up to that. I don't know. So, I mean, I think that the breathing techniques that you've talked about before have really worked with me, and just like what I've done before, like you're safe. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can have it again. But I don't know how to get there in that moment, or why some moments it works and some moments it doesn't. But I think that I do. I mean, you talk that you still have binges. So it's not like it's ever going to probably go away, but at least they are fewer and far between.
Yeah. And then when they do happen, they're a sign, right? It's just a sign. Yeah. Something's going on. There's really probably another need there. So if giving yourself space to rest, it doesn't feel reasonable to you, doesn't feel doable to you right now, then there's, tell me this, when you were eating the candy, were you eating it as you were walking around doing the laundry?
Yes. I was shoving it in my face and doing the laundry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can multitask. I'm a teacher.
So going back to our rewind, right? And our kind of like, we're going to put ourselves in this exact same situation where, you know, we have everything else happening, all the same thoughts and the same feelings and everything else. So the other thing you can do is with the candy, truly giving yourself full permission. And if we're going to have it, we're just going to go sit. We're going to sit down and we're going to enjoy it. And we're going to, you know, for I mean, how long really does it take to eat a piece of Halloween candy? Not very.
Right.
But like, we'll right. sit down with it and eat it mindfully and then get up and go. Like, you can totally have it, but like the eating while laundry, while like, that's kind of really, you know, really what it was trying, like it was a very well-intended effort from your brain to take you away. The Calgon mm-hmm. take me away, right? Like, let's 100%. Just get out of here, back to, you know, my magic place where I just was kind right. of that attempt. So that now it came out sideways because the brain doesn't really always, you know, it's not always logical, but that mm-hmm. makes sense. And so I understand where you're saying with the, like, I'm not the type of person to rest until every single thing is done. Now that mm-hmm. is that's not necessarily describing you. That's really how you're choosing to do things. So
sure.
you might also be like, and it's very black and white thinking. Black and white thinking is what leads to binging. So you can say, this is me and I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. Well, if you are going to be like this for the rest of your life, then chances are the binging in some times and in some ways will come along for the ride, because mm-hmm. it is a symptom of black and white thinking. So if we can bring some gray into it, you don't have to like lay down and take a whole nap for all day when you've got a zillion things on your to-do list. But if mm-hmm. you can find a little bit of gray, like, I'm tired, I have these other things going on, then, you know, there may be other needs that you can address in little small ways that aren't the black and white, because that's where the black and white thinking is what leads to the binging.
I mean, it makes so much sense. And I've done the, you know, how Corinne says, put your, that, you know, those two Oreos on the fanciest plate you've ever had and enjoy the hell out of them, because it's better to do it that way than sitting in the closet. And I'm like, oh my God, she knows me.
Yes. Yes.
And it's very true. And I've been really, I feel like I've made so many gains with that too. I just think that anytime I have one of these, you know, relapses, should I call them,
no.
it really brings me down. And I just can't, like, it almost like I can't even think straight to think, how did it lead me to that way? And, you know, when you listen to other people call in and talk about this, I'm like, oh, well, you know, X, Y, and Z probably happened. That's right. why they binged, right. you know, but when it's yourself, it's hard to,
well,
to
it
find that.
Well, it's because of the shame, right? It's the you know, Corinne talks about the shame shawl. When we mm-hmm. have shame thinking, I mean, even calling it a relapse, right? A relapse means, I mean, I would love to look up relapse on Word Hippo, right? Like, it's definitely,
yeah.
it's so charged with like, I'm falling back into my old patterns. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you just ate some, literally, here's what happened. You ate Halloween candy while you were doing laundry. That's it. That's it.
I know. It sounds really good when you just,
it's not a relapse. It's not a, you know, like a problem or a moral failing. But when we think of it in that way, then there's shame. And what happens is the shame puts the shroud over it. And then we can't get to the, well, how does this make sense? What was going on? The curiosity. The curiosity mm-hmm. is what will help us figure it out. And the compassion to kind of, you know, really be very gentle and very curious. Like, all of that, there is so much treasure underneath every single binge if we don't put the shame shroud over it. But the shame, it's like, it's this like impenetrable thing that makes it very hard to find the learning, to see what was there, and to see that really at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. And there's so many wins here. We could count all of the wins and all of the ways that, you know, I mean, all of the wins you had over the weekend with your husband, like, none of those. Everybody hear me when I say this. When you have wins, and lots of wins, and then you have one time or more than one time where you go back into your old eating patterns, that never negates all of your wins. Never, ever, ever. You are not going backwards. It does not like erase all of those wins and all of that progress. That is all still there. Oh, those are all like, you know, I love thinking about this with the brain, right? We are creating new neural pathways around food. You have all of those wins from the weekend. Those are all new neural pathways that you're laying down, new ways of being around food, new ways of being around vacation. Now, what I see is what you get to work on next is new ways of being when you get home from vacation.
Okay.
So you did the vacation part. Amazing. Now we get to work on, okay, next time, how would I do this differently? I may not be willing to just take a 3-hour nap as soon as I get home, and that's okay. But maybe there are some other ways that I could do things differently. I will share an example for myself. We generally have a rule when we travel, we get home and we unpack. We don't do anything until we unpack. Very quick, we get it done. And generally, I'm pretty much a stickler about it because I love having it. I don't ever love doing it, but I love having it done. I got home last night from a trip, which is why we didn't have the call on Monday.
Okay.
And we got home after midnight. And I told my husband on the drive home, I said, you know what? We're not going to unpack tonight. And he was like, I was wondering. And I said, no, sleep. It's like sleep is definitely, I need the sleep. It's more important for me to get the sleep. And he said, okay. He said, well, do you want to start? We could pull a few things out when we get home. And I said, you know what? I know myself. And if I start, then I'll be like, oh, just one more thing. And then I'll keep going until we're unpacked. And so so that is a little bit of all or nothing thinking. But we just didn't unpack and it was great. It was amazing. I got to bed probably an hour sooner than I would have. If I still love my rule, 95% of the time, it's probably going to happen, but then I can recognize it doesn't have to be all the time. When it's not in my best physical interest, then, you know, there are ways to make modifications so that I can take care of myself physically, because I know for me coming home from vacation, when I am really tired, that's when I'm generally likely to have more urges. So right. I'd much rather find ways to focus on getting the rest and the recovery that I need so that I don't have those urges that could end up leading to overeating or binging later.
Yes.
Yeah.
It all sounds so great. Can I just text you when I'm having an urge? I have people I can text.
Good. Yes. That's accountability groups are great for that. So
yes. And I have a few friends outside of No BS who I'm trying to get to come on in because I think they would really love it. Awesome. But we do, lean on each other. So at that particular moment, I did not lean on anybody, but I have in the past, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for raising your hand. I think this is probably really helpful for a lot of people. So thanks, Nicole.
Thank you. And I apologize for crying.
Oh no, I'm glad you did.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. All right, let's see if we have any Q&As. Raise your hand if you would like to be coached. Okay. My perfectionistic self has a task that I have been procrastinating on. When I start to do it, I want to get up and go into the kitchen. I know it won't help me get this done, but I guess I want to get away from the task. I'm not sure will turn out the way I want. Need something to break that shitty thought cycle. So anonymous, for this is where I love the concept of B- work. So especially if you can see what's going on, you can see it's your perfectionistic thinking. You can see that you're not sure it's going to turn out the way that you want. And so what happens is right now it's not turning out the way that you want at all because it's not turning out. You're not actually making progress towards it. So what I would suggest that you do is be very like, okay, I'm going to sit down and work on a very rough draft. So sometimes, especially in perfectionistic thinking, getting started with something, if we don't know how it's going to turn out, even just that getting started can be a little bit of a challenge. So like working on a very rough draft of first rough draft, I am just going to sit here until that rough draft is done. I know that I am likely going to want to get up and go to the pantry or go do something. But for the next kind of just give yourself like a window of time that's really very reasonable. So say like a 30-minute window of time where you can remove your distractions and just say like, all right, I'm either going to work on my first draft, or I can have a notepad right next to me and write down everything that I'm thinking about this project. So like, I'm worried it won't turn out the way that I want. I don't know how to do this. I'm afraid of whatever. So you have two choices. Your choices are either write down your thoughts or work on your very rough first draft. What will be amazing about this is you will actually, if you're not working on your draft, you will either be working on your draft or you will be revealing the thoughts that are preventing you from actually working on it. Then you can go through and see and kind of go through the whole process in Thoughts 2.0, where you just go through and question, is this really true? What else could be true? And you can really notice how what you are doing now with a perfectionism is actually preventing you from making the progress that you want to make. So that is my suggestion about that. Angela asks, is it considered a binge when we are fully aware in the moment that we are doing it? And, I don't know that necessarily really determines whether it's considered a binge or not. For some people, there is very much an experience of kind of almost like being completely disconnected from the experience. So no real recollection of actually eating the food. For some people, they're very aware that they're eating and how much that they're eating. And so I don't think that really determines either way, whether it is considered a binge. All right. If anybody would like coaching, we have a little bit of time left. Feel free to raise your hand and we will do that. All right. Sherry is coming on. Here comes Sherry. Here she comes.
Hi, Jane.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I can't put my video on because of my eye problems I have with my eyes, but
no,
is that
no
okay?
Problem. Of course, no problem at all.
Okay. So here's one of my issues that I would like coaching on. I've been doing a lot of work on staying connected to my body and listening to my body. But I've been having a lot of, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay. I've been having a tremendous amount of pain in my body, a lot of back pain and, physical pain. And so I was listening to you earlier when you were coaching, talking about eating as a way of disconnecting to your body. And in the past week that I've had a lot of pain, very, very high amounts of pain and wanting to feel better, I've been eating going for potato chips, and to help try to just decrease the physical, emotional, whatever is going to do that. I think when you said about disconnecting from your body, I think that was so right on, because I want to disconnect from this pain. So the potato chips are is my go-to to disconnect from my body. But in the long run, it's totally not what I want to do for my long-term goals.
Yeah.
And in the short run, it's exactly what I feel like I need to do to get some relief. But I know that, eating potato chips at midnight is not what what I really want for myself, but it's so in the moment that I'm just trying to bring down the temperature of the pain and emotional pain too, from being so upset about being in physical pain. Does that make sense?
It does. So let's get curious about exactly how, what I hear from you is a belief that the potato chips are relieving the pain. They are helping to relieve the pain.
Well, I think what they're doing in the moment is helping the emotional pain over the physical pain, like, because I'm upset about being in pain. So I think it kind of gives me that like chemical hit of something that it makes me feel a little calmer in the midst of the pain. Does that make sense?
It does. So I think there's a couple of things we can look at. Number one would be, what is the potato chips, when we go to the potato chips and you think that you experience relief, what, like, let's really talk about what is the relief you experience? Okay. Like let's just kind of like from a scientist, where is the relief? What is the relief? Either in both in the short term as well as in the long term, but let's start with the short term. Like, let's really get kind of scientifically curious. Are the potato chips relieving your pain?
Only to the extent that they're relieving emotional pain in the moment. So it's like, as soon as I take a bite of the, I'm like, like I feel this like drain of anxiety, like a drug, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like just this relief or release of some buildup of upset or anxiety. When it's crazy. Like, I really feel it. Yeah.
And what is the thought before you eat the chips? Before you eat the chips, like, is it like, yeah, I just need to have these? I need to.
Yeah. It's literally not that I've ever done drugs, but I just kind of assume it's very much like that. Like, this is what's going to help me. And I know that as soon as I have some, it's going to help me feel better. Yeah. And as soon as I take some, it helps me feel better.
And so you experience that physical, that kind of like release. How then long does that last?
Well, I've been actually like mindful of it as I'm doing it, because I sort of know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. So it lasts. I try to make it last as little amount of time as I can get away with until I can stop. So, but maybe you mean like, how long do I eat them? How long?
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, at what happens after you get that initial hit? Are you continuing to eat? Are you continuing to eat lots of chips? Does this happen over an extended period of time? What does that look like?
I would say about 10 minutes. And sometimes I'm eating them quickly, like you said, sometimes just like eating them really fast. And sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to have this and be mindful about having it. But I know why. It's always the same reason why I'm having it. And it lasts, I would say, 10 minutes. That's a pretty good guess, give or, you know, about that long.
So
and
I
then
think,
I seem to calm down and I can put the chips away.
I think there's a couple of things going on. And I definitely want to talk about your thoughts about the pain itself, because that's for sure where, like, I think everything is stemming from. But when there is, it's, you know, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, where it's like the chips will help this go away. And it's like, when there is this thought that like nothing else will help, the chips will help it go away. As soon as then you take that, of course, there is going to be a little bit of dopamine just from the, you know, from the food itself, but that the amount of relief that you're experiencing is actually, I think, much more of it's more of a mental relief than it's almost like a placebo effect, if you will. And so what I'd really be curious about is the thoughts about the pain itself.
Okay.
And kind of the what would you say is the feeling when you are in that, like, I have to have a potato chip right now? Is the, what would you name that feeling?
Can you say that again?
Can you name the feeling that you experience before when you're feeling that very intense desire and need.
Despair. Like real intense, just despair, like of this never feeling better and not knowing how to make it better. And what if this is just the way it always is? And I go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. And so the, do you think when you're feeling this despair and, you know, kind of thinking that what if this never goes away, do you think, how does that, do you notice how that impacts the actual feeling of the pain? Like there's kind of the pain itself, and then there's the thoughts about the pain, then does that expand the pain, the experience of the pain? Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
About it, which makes me feel so much worse.
Well, can you say that? Say that sentence again. No. You said absolutely, and then I didn't hear the next part.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can move closer to my router.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So you said absolutely.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to sit next to my router and see if this works.
Okay. So you said absolutely on the pain increasing when you're thinking about the pain.
Yeah. I said, it's sort of like that unnecessary suffering. I feel the pain. Then I have these thoughts about the pain, which just adds so much more pain emotionally onto the physical pain. And it magnifies it tremendously. Yeah.
Yes. And so I think that's exactly what's happening. I think you have the pain, then the thoughts about the pain, which are, you know, I can't handle this. I need to get away from this. What if this always happens? What if this is always my experience? And so it magnifies. And so then it's like compounding that pain. Then there kind of becomes this experience of, I have to get away from this. And so then it's like, oh, well, the chips will do it. Which makes sense if you have any of us who have a binge history, that it's like, well, if there is pain, discomfort, then often our brain will offer up food as a, well, this will work. You know, here's a way to kind of disconnect. And just like you said, it is that like sometimes we can use food to disconnect from ourselves, to disconnect from our experience. And in this case, I think you're trying likely to disconnect not only from your physical experience of pain, but then you're trying to disconnect from your emotional experience of despair and, you know, the other feelings that are coming up around the pain.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think it really is, I think that the chips themselves actually end up being like, I don't know the word for it, but it's not really the chips itself, but it's like, if you truly think they're going to provide the relief, then it's like you go to them and it's almost like you kind of are giving yourself permission to, number one, to disconnect from yourself. And so then it's like you're turning off the thoughts of despair and the thoughts of those other things. So it's like it is serving to disconnect, but it's not actually the chips themselves
doing it.
So to kind of even just be able to see that it really isn't the chips themselves, and it's more, okay, if this pain is my experience, which is the case, how can I then look at and see and experience ways where I'm not adding additional unnecessary suffering that then I have to then turn and get away from? Because the pain itself, then we can, you know, we can look at, okay, what are ways to then work on, you know, kind of connecting with the experience, ways to manage and work with the pain, but then seeing adding that additional layer is what really amplifies everything. It amplifies the pain, it amplifies the desire to disconnect, and it amplifies the desire for the chips.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are, if the, the pain itself, it's like, if we can have this pain, what are, then what are ways, what would you, we're not going to get rid of the pain, right? The pain is there. And of course there are ways you can work with the pain itself, but given this level of pain, what, and seeing that the thoughts of despair and I can't handle this, and what if this is, what if this doesn't go away? All of those other things are kind of creating that additional unnecessary suffering on top of it. What are ways that you would want to relate to yourself with your pain instead?
That is a really good question. And I don't know. I mean, I think about how to, you know, calming the nervous system is, you know, is the only, is, are really the only things I can think of, but I don't really know how, when I'm in that kind of level, what to say to myself, what thoughts to have that would be helpful.
Yeah. What I am sensing, just based on what you've shared, what I'm sensing is that your brain is likely, when you're in that place where it feels super heightened, that your brain is in a survival response. It's just like, like this pain is unbearable. I can't handle it. It's very much in that activated, you know, the activated place. It's like, I must have potato chips. It's kind of like, then it feels very urgent because it's in that kind of survival response. What I would encourage you to do is go into and say, okay, is, let me just get really curious about this and work on kind of cultivating that safety within yourself in terms of, okay, let me see, maybe there, it's the additional thinking. Maybe there's some unnecessary suffering. Can I come back into this? Can I come back into my body? Are there areas in my body that don't feel the amount of pain? Where, you know, can I focus on other areas? What happens is whatever we focus on expands. So when you're thinking about your pain, that is going to expand. When you're thinking about chips as a relief, that is going to keep expanding. And the pain then feels so big and the chips feel like the only option without considering, okay, well, how then do I feel the next day after I've eaten a bunch of chips? Right. And if I continue, if my pain continues and I continue to respond to my pain with chips, how am I going to feel, you know, 6 weeks from now or whatever that, you know, kind of whatever that case is. So if you can, in that moment, like, oh, okay, here's the, here's this part where I'm getting very activated again. I'm really wanting the chips again. Okay. Can I, instead of turning away from my pain and turning away from my body, can I connect to other parts of my body that aren't in pain? So it's not necessarily inviting you to go straight to your pain, because the brain's not going to want to do that. But can you connect with other parts of your body that aren't pain? Can you kind of calm yourself down in a little bit of other ways that might provide a little bit more relief than that very temporary, temporary hip?
You made me think of something I did yesterday that was actually really helpful. And I will, the next time that this comes up, I will try this instead. You know, the app Insight Timer. So I went and I did a 10-minute meditation on the sacral chakra meditation, which is the lower back like area, which is where I was having a lot of pain. And at the end of the 10 minutes, I felt relief. I wasn't gone, but I definitely felt the temperature was taken down. So maybe if I'm start thinking chips, 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 I'll think, oh, insight timer, go do a 10 minute meditation. You know, I don't have to immerse myself in like some 30 minute meditation, but I can do, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And that would probably be enough to shift the desire for chips and take the temperature down.
And that's such a beautiful way to connect with yourself. And I think if you can see, for anybody listening, when you have that desire for chips or for something that feels so urgent, it is often us trying to disconnect from our experience. And so what is a way, if we can then see that as, oh, this is me trying to disconnect, what is a way that I can connect in a way that feels safe, in a way that feels like something I would do that might provide me some sort of relief? What is another way, kind of an invitation to come back in instead of to go outside of yourself? And it doesn't, like, I don't ever recommend anybody go straight to your pain or straight to your, you know, enormous grief that maybe feels like too much, because that's not going to feel safe to your brain either. But if we can kind of turn inwards instead of really disconnecting, then that can be that invitation. And what happens is when we can connect, we have more access to our needs. What's really going on? What do you really need here? What really would feel, would provide you some sort of relief for the pain that you are experiencing, instead of like just this urgent desire to just get out, get away from it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sounds beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah. All right. You know, now I feel better because now I have another choice that yes. I feel like I would like to try this other choice and see how it goes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thanks,
excellent.
Jane.
Yes.
Thank
of
you
course.
So much.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that is what I have for you this evening. Remember, anytime we want to go to food, so often we're trying to disconnect from our experience, from our emotions. Maybe it's from our project that we don't want to work on. Can you see this as an opportunity to connect in some way? See this as, oh, there I go. This is where I'm trying to disconnect. Can I just invite myself back in just a little bit, just gently bring myself back a little bit into that moment instead of completely disconnecting? The brain is always, always, always trying to help us. When it does offer up those desires and the urges for food, it's not because of anything wrong. It is really often almost always trying to protect us, trying to help us. It just comes out a little bit sideways. So when we can see, oh, this is what's happening here, I know that if I disconnect and I go and I eat that food, I'm going to feel like crap later. That's not really going to be very connecting. It's not going to be the nurturing experience or really honoring whatever is going on for me. So can I turn back in, connect to myself, figure out what I need and honor it in some way, even if it's just a little tiny way? Honoring what you need can really just help so much with that whole experience. All right, everybody, I hope this was helpful. I will, if you are not already aware, we have a group specifically for bingers in Facebook. It's one of our special subgroups. It is called the Binge Support Group. If you are not in there, you can join us over there. I hang out over there, and that's where you can find me. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next month. Bye.